Check. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? Have any happy people this Sunday morning? Nobody? Any happy people this Sunday morning? Okay, there you go. It's a good day to be alive. We're about to start and get into worship. But before we, before we get into the singing portion of it, I have a buddy who is from Roseburg, Oregon, and he was in a really bad car accident this week. He got airlifted to Portland, and that's where he currently is. He was pretty much almost dead, and he's alive, so that's the good news. He's improving. We don't know what exactly long-term effects are. I want us to pray for him, but I wanted to just let you guys know about my buddy Brandon. He's a young kid. He's a youth pastor. And something that he did is the last few years he's been growing this brand, and he called it Ruach. And this is a Hebrew word, and it essentially means breath, like breath of God. And the reason why he named it that is because when he was a young man, I think he was 13 or something, really young, he actually committed suicide and he died. And he woke up and God downloaded at like 13, he was young, he was really, really, really young, downloaded this revelation of that it was him, it was God that breathed life into him. Okay, so he carried this dream from that age to his early 20s. Well, he's still in his early 20s, but 2021, and he launched out in this brand, and it just is it's a declaration of breath of God. And I think how amazing that this young man who has carried this word from God, Ruach, breath of God, then gets into this car accident, nearly dies, is now... was on a ventilator, so wasn't even breathing by himself for a point, and now is alive to begin to further send that message. Ruach, breath of God. I just this morning I couldn't get that out of my mind. That the breath of God. That how often, daily. We need a new breath of God inside of us. And how my friend Brandon, how he's laying in a hospital bed, and yes, he has a long road ahead of him, but nonetheless, the breath of God has never left him. Nonetheless, our God is so good. And I'm not going to begin to build theology about why this happened and all this stuff, but instead I'm going to look at it and say, okay, God, I know that you still have something for this young man. I know that this story, this time, is going to be his testimony. And it's going to, I don't know what he's going to do, but I just know God's going to continue to do something. So if you just need that Ruach, you need that fresh wind, fresh spirit of God, fresh breath of God to breathe through you. I just want you to right now take a deep breath. Just this morning as we worship, I want us just to begin to lay down all of our worries, all of our burdens, all of our stress, all of our anything. And just allow God to breathe through you. I promise you, God's not worried about your circumstance. He's not worried about your situation. So God, we thank you today. We thank you this morning that you're here. You're already doing something. I don't have to sit here and beg and ask you to move because you've already begun moving this morning. And I just pray right now, God, that we would step into that movement, that we would step into that momentum. I thank you, God, that your breath, that your fresh breath from heaven is right now just blowing through this place in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for my friend Brandon. God, I thank you, Lord, that no geographical location, Lord, can separate what you want to do, God. And so we just release right now a blessing over his hospital room in Portland, Oregon right now. God, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to do a great move in his life. Lord, that doctors would be amazed, God, that this young man who came into the hospital a few days ago, who was essentially on his deathbed, is now making leaps and bounds in his recovery. I thank you, Jesus, that you are a healer. I thank you that 2,000 years ago on the cross, you took care of all infirmities. You took care of all sickness. You took care of all sin. And right now we speak directly to Brandon's body and we say, body, come into alignment with heaven. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We pray for his family. We pray for the Stone family. We pray, Lord, that you would bring them comfort. You would bring them relief, God. I pray, Lord, for every ounce of them, Lord, just to be blessed, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your breath. Thank you, Jesus, for how you're moving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm in the wrong key. I'm blow in this place again, right here, right now. Won't you blow in this place again? Oh, won't you blow in this place again? Jesus, thinking that you're already here, doing your thing, doing your thing. Thank you that you're already here, doing your thing, doing your thing today. Thank you that you're already here, you're doing your thing. Thank you that you're already here, you're doing your thing today. Thank you that you're already here, you're doing your thing. Thank you that you're already here, you're doing your thing today. Thank you that you're already here, you're doing your thing. Thank you that you're already here, you're doing your thing today. Jesus, you're doing your thing today. This morning, right now, you're doing your thing today. You're healing in this place. You're doing your thing today. Restoring all things. Oh, you're doing your thing today. You're making all new. You're doing your thing today. You're making the sick well. Providing, yes, you're doing your thing today, because you're so good, you're doing your thing today, yes, you're doing your thing today, yes, you're doing your thing. Thank you.
it out until all the earth can hear that Jesus is alive and he saves, he rescues and saves. Oh, shout it out. We shout it out and lift up one voice in worship, sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and he saves, he rescues and saves. Yes, he does. We shout it out, Jesus. Thank you.
It's our prayers. Our prayers are the incense that God loves. The smell of our prayers. It enters His throne room and makes His throne room this sensual pleasure of smell to be in, because He's hearing our prayers, because we're lifting prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of need, prayers of desperation. He doesn't care. It's your prayers. And they smell so sweet to Him.
And all of the glory, all
Saturday night group, and we would just sit around and worship and praise the Lord. And it's when I was going through a really kind of difficult time of life, and there was one lady there, and she was sitting kind of over in the corner, and she'd just be like so focused and intent, and she would just start saying, thank you daddy. And at that time I'm like, thank you daddy, what are you saying? It's like, it's our Heavenly Father. And I just could not like grasp or understand or have any revelation of that at the time. And since then, the Lord's taken me through a journey and showed me that I have not just the ability, but it's the Spirit of living God that's in me, That's confirming the fact that I can call him Abba. I can call him Daddy. And it's I mean, you think about that, that's a very, very personal, intimate name to call him. But that's what the Spirit of the Living God's saying to us, is that we can say Abba, Daddy, Daddy. Some like to say Papa. I know Nancy likes to say Papa. We belong to you, Lord. We belong to you. Even when life is giving us signs that that's a lie, that we don't belong to you, that's what the lie is, Lord. We belong to you. No matter what the circumstances show, no matter sometimes beyond our own behavior, Lord, we belong to you. Abba, we belong to you. We are yours. And as Eric said, we are yours and you are ours. We have relationship. We have communion. We have fellowship, Lord. I pray that that reality, that truth of you being our Abba, would just come to us in a new way today. A deeper, more significant, more intimate, more real way, Lord, that we would be able to say, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, 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 Papa, whatever the most intimate term you can think of calling your Father. That's what the Spirit of the Living God is confirming in us today. One more time, Abba. Yes, we do. Intimacy, that closeness with you, whether they're here right now or listening online, Lord, I pray that you would just draw them to yourselves, Lord. Help them to know, Lord, that they are in you and you are in them, and that there's an intimacy and a closeness, Lord, that nothing can take that away from them. That you are their Heavenly Father, but you're also their Daddy. You're also the one that sees the wounds in their heart and wants to heal them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing this in us, allowing us to be the sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross so that we could once again have a place and position with our Heavenly Father, with our Daddy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. We'll take a few minutes and greet each other. Praise the Lord. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody feeling? Good. Cold? Anybody cold? It's cold out there, yes. What is this? It's nice in here. So thank you, Pastor Mike, for... What time do you have to turn it on today? A little after 5. Praise the Lord. All right, so we're going to do our declarations. If anybody is unaware, for the last... when did we start? Earlier this year sometime? I don't remember. For first of the year, we started doing these declarations over our city. We believe that even though we're a small church, we're a mighty church. And so when we speak things over our city, things happen. And we're agreeing. And so go and put the first slide up there. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to say this together. We're going to believe this over our city. We're not just going to believe what the news tells us about our city or what the past has told us about our city, but we're going to declare what God wants to do and is in doing in our city. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Jesus, for our city. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We thank you, God, that you love Yakima, you love the valley, you love the lower valley, the upper valley, and everywhere in between. And we just continue praying that you would utilize your children in this house to continue doing what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So a couple slides or a couple announcements we have. The first one being we're giving to the mission. And so we have a basket out here on the table right in the foyer, and we're collecting beanies, gloves, and hand warmers. And so a couple questions got asked last week. We're going to keep it to those three items for now. If they're used, that's totally fine. Just lightly used would be great. As you guys know, being out there, there's a lot of it's cold. It's really, really cold. And I don't know about you guys, but every winter up until this winter, I haven't thought too much about what's happening on the outside for those who don't have a home, just to be quite frank. It's not a thought that goes through my head a lot, because in my mind, I'm like, somebody's taking care of it. The mission, you know, other people, they have taken care of it. I work at the mission now, and we are taking care of it, but you would be very surprised the amount of people that are still sleeping outside. And it's 20, when I got here this morning at 8, it was 19 degrees. And so we're just going to do our part. This is part of being about it. And if you feel led, you can give a couple of ways. You can give one of these three items. Just go to the store, buy a pack of beanies or gloves or hand warmers and bring them. And at the end, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to take all those items and we're going to take them right down to the mission and we're going to give them out to those folks who need them. A really practical way just to be the hands and feet of Jesus. If you just want to give financially to it, you totally can. You can write it in your in the envelope or on a check or whatever, and just tell us what you want it to go to, and we'll go and buy that stuff for them as well. Does that make sense? Great. So we're going to collect over the next few weeks, and so feel free just to bring it Sunday mornings and put it on the table in the front there. Next thing, the Lord's Supper. This is tonight. So the Lord's Supper, it's something we've done for the last few years, and this is just a great time to get together. We're going to take communion together. We're going to share a meal together, and this is just a great time, another great time for us to connect as a family and just share a meal. This is also another great opportunity for you to invite your friends and family. Say, hey, right now, if you haven't thought of anybody or if you haven't thought about it to this point, I encourage you right now, send a text. Say, hey, we're having soup, right? Soup tonight. We're having soup at my church at 5:00. It's completely free. And it's going to be downstairs in our fellowship hall. And again, this is just a really great opportunity for us to connect with one another, connect with our friends and family who might not ever come through these doors on a Sunday morning, but just to come and hang out with us. It's going to be a really awesome time. Last year was really fun, and it's really cool when our church can get together. Amen? All right, and last but not least, we are going to decorate our stage. We're going to decorate our church for Christmas. And so this is December 4th. This is the first Sunday of December. Right after service, we're going to provide lunch. We'll make some more coffee. Pastor Mike promised me that we're going to put the Seahawks game on. And so, okay, great, because I was going to leave if not. But we're gonna set up our tree. We're going to set up our nativity scene. And in the more hands we have here, the quicker it's going to go. And again, this is just a great time for us to make our church beautiful for Christmas. And it's going to be awesome. Amen. Amen. You guys want to join me up here while I'm doing offering? And last but not least, I know I said that for the last one, but this is really the last one. You can give. Thank you guys for giving. You can give online, onelifefamilyworship.com, or you can give in the offering box there or the offering box there. And again, I know we say it every Sunday, but we truly mean it. Thank you for those who choose to pour in financially to sow into what God's doing here. It really is a blessing for us as the body to continue to serve you guys and to serve the community. So without further ado, here's our pastors.
Amen. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, honey.
Thanks, everyone, for participating in our declaration. You know, it's not how loud you say it, but it's if you're connecting in faith and agreeing in your heart, that's what really matters.
Amen.
It's not the strength of your voice. So today, you're probably all expecting, or if you remember, the series that we've been doing. Do you remember the scripture after all this time?
1 Corinthians. Something or
other. 2 Corinthians. You're in the right. You're in the right word. It's 2 Corinthians 13:14. We're not finishing that series today.
Can I share something real quick?
Share something. Yeah.
So for those of you who weren't here beginning of worship, I talked about my buddy Brandon who's in the hospital right now, and he got a car accident, almost died. It's really, really bad. His mom just texted me and said,
cool.
Both eyes open today. He swallowed a little bit of OJ and water. He knows who we are as in the family, and he knows who he is. So that's good.
Praise the Lord.
God.
Yeah.
Praise you, Court.
Yeah, he's getting better and better every day. Prayer changes things. They did a study many, many, many years ago, and they took a hospital floor, and they had people that were assigned to pray. And I don't know what their religion affiliation was or anything, but they were assigned to pray for a certain group. They had the names of these people, and then they had the names of others that didn't get prayer. And the ones that got the prayer basically healed quicker, restored faster, needed less medications, all of that stuff. So prayer works. So don't ever underestimate the power of prayer.
Amen.
If someone, you know, if you is like, well, what, I don't, you know, I don't have like this dynamic prayer, you know, words that come out of my mouth that people listen, they're swooned by because they're so eloquent. That's not what the Father's looking for. He's looking for a heart that says, oh, Daddy, help them. That's all he's looking for.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes, because he already knows the need before we even ask.
Right.
So, amen. So, how many know what this week is? Thanksgiving? Two of you knew. Okay, well, now you guys know, so you could go buy whatever you need to buy for your celebration. So, this thought came to me, a thankful Thanksgiving. And, that's kind of redundant, Pastor, a thankful Thanksgiving. Of course, we're going to have a thankful Thanksgiving. Well, maybe you are, but I have to let you know that Thanksgiving, for years for me, has been like a thorn in my flesh. Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? Yeah, because not now. The guy's like, years ago, there were lots of Thanksgivings that I was not looking forward to them. And part of that was me. I was not allowing my heart, my spirit, my expectations to be at the right level. And what ended up happening is that it just became like a miserable experience by the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of it was that we were, and, you know, forgive me, but part of it was like we were spending all this money. Like, you know, like here's, you know, here's at the back then, because we would get, you know, we would get things, and I would get something. Like one year, I think we did, was it prime rib or something like that for Thanksgiving, or we did that for Christmas?
Christmas.
Okay. Christmas was, I think that because it was Christmas, I gave it a little bit of a flex. But what ended up happening is that I would basically be the host home. We would be the host home for all the people, all our family that came. And what it was is that I was thinking that, you know, people would come, they would, you know, bring stuff and be enough, and sometimes there wouldn't be enough. And so Gay would say, well, we have to get more food because, you know, there's not going to be enough brought, you know, or somebody would bring something like a bag of potato chips, you know, and we have, you know, like 20 people there more than what we normally have. So we'd be buying more food. And the thing was, is that I did not have the right heart. I wasn't, you know, by the time it was done, Gay was exhausted. I mean, she literally, she couldn't eat Thanksgiving dinner. She was almost sick. And then her and I would be, she'd be in the kitchen doing dishes, you know, and I just, why is this all happening, you know? So I just, you know, let it take control of me. And it ended up not being a thankful Thanksgiving. I couldn't wait for it to be done. Anybody else relate? No. Boy, you guys are saved. I wasn't saved. Oh, Paul can relate. Okay. What? Eric? Oh, okay. So obviously we need help, guys. And I'm sure that is just one area. But then how about the dynamic of sometimes the families that we're going to meet with? We haven't seen them since the last time we got in a fight. Or the last time we got into a disagreement. Or the last time they called us a name. Or whatever it is. And so we're getting back together, and that even that atmosphere, it's like, oh, I feel the tension. You could cut it with a knife. Now, I didn't have so much problem with that. But, you know, I know people, sometimes, anybody have that problem? Like where family is like, why are we going here? We don't, you know. And so it ends up becoming, you know, something that it's not supposed to be. I mean, Thanksgiving is really a celebration of being thankful to our Heavenly Father for what He's given us. And it's not to be a miserable experience. Now, I'm telling you, it could still potentially be a difficult experience, but it still can be thankful. And that's what I want to help us do today. I want us to realize that we can redeem whatever the circumstance, whatever's going on of that day, and make it something that we're thankful in our heart for. So I wanted to start with this idea. Is it going up there?
It's not back.
Oh, that screen's not working. Okay. Thank you for that information. So we want to be thankful, number one. Thankfulness is the key for all of these other things to really inhabit our hearts. Because if we just try to say, oh, Pastor Mike says to purpose to practice contentment. Okay, I'm going to, if you don't add thanksgiving to that, if you don't add a thankful, grateful heart, you're not going to be able to maintain the practicing of contentment. Because part of what comes from contentment is that you realize that you're blessed. Contentment. Contentment is when you are satisfied and you are able to truly be at a place of almost like
in whatever state you're in.
In whatever state you're in, a lack of like, I have to have more, I need more, or I need something to go more my way, or I need something to be better in my life. Contentment is being able to accept and I would say even enjoy the state that you're in. That's really what contentment is. And we're going to look at a couple of verses about that. I have some, these are going to be like three keys. Now, granted, there's other things that I think we could add into what means to have a thankful Thanksgiving. But I thought these three were really keys. Because if you can find a place of contentment in any place that you're at, any situation, whether financially, emotionally, you know, relationally, all of those things, you're going to have a greater level of peace in your life. You're going to have a greater level of being able to even exist in your life, right?
Yeah.
Do you have anything yet?
No.
Okay. Let's look at the first verse.
1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is the Amplified Plus. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will.
So, thank God in everything. And another scripture or another translation says, this is the will of God for you. And I've taught on this very verse before. But this is a key to being able to handle circumstances. This is a key. Well, why, Pastor Mike? Why is being thankful a key? Well, because thankfulness opens up our heart to the presence of God. It says to enter his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
And his courts with praise. Why does thanksgiving go before praise? I mean, you think about it, true worship probably in this house would be us thanking the Lord for a little bit. Yeah. Just thanking him for what he's been doing in our life, what he's done in our lives, what he's going to continue to do in our lives. You know, even if you don't think he's doing something, it says that he's at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah. Even if you don't know that, he is at work in you. I had a friend, and he went through a divorce, spent a lot of time with him, loved on him, and I told him all the way through this. I said, God's going to restore your life. There's going to come a point that you're going to realize that even through all, you know, he did all the stuff that you do when you're in hurt. You know, he just kind of lost his way for a bit. But I said, you know, I know the call in your life. It's without repentance, and he's going to restore you. And when he restores you and you know that you're restored, you're going to be amazed that you didn't lose anything. Wow. That the years that the locust has eaten are going to be restored. And I heard from him the other day, and he says, I want to tell you that this is the truth, that it's almost like nothing ever happened, and that I'm moving on in God. That's the way God works. Even when we don't, so we have a reason to be thankful, even when a difficult time, because God's still at work in us. You have something?
Well, I do. What I want to say is that when that happens, when that process happens, and someone is, you know, finding their way back,
kind of,
God doesn't make you start all over again. You don't have to start back at square one and, you know, do all the hard things, hard work that you had done up to that point before you lost your way. He restores you back to that point. You, all of those things that God poured into you, put into your life, those just automatically tag along. You may not know that it's there tagging you. You may not know that as you're wandering through the wilderness in a way, that those things are really following you because they're just waiting. Let me give you a for instance. Okay, so I went through a divorce. Both of us went through divorces, by the way. We always put that out front because we frankly don't care, you know, in the church, and don't care that we're divorced and then remarried. Both of us, and what we mean by that, both of us were hurt by our spouses, and our spouses left us for other people. And so God restored this here. Well, at that point, when I was going through my divorce, I was deeply hurt, deeply crushed, wounded, almost, it felt like, to a point that I didn't care if I got back to that point of being a lay pastor, you know, working in the church, all the things that I had done up to that point. I didn't care if they came back to me because I was just so broken. But when I got to the point that I recognized, you know, as a young woman, God called me, a teenager, in a home that did not serve God, he called me as a young teen. And that calling, like you said, was without repentance. Mm-hmm. God never regretted calling me. Even through that wilderness walk that I took, as a woman broken, when I came back to God, all of those things that were there, all of those blessings and those callings and those things that he knew that I was going to be able to do with my life, they all, it was there immediately when that broke, when I allowed that brokenness to draw me to him, then all of that stuff just came right back. It was like I had never walked away. I had never turned my heart in any way. Now, let me just say, I never did not love the Lord, and I was never not saved. I just, I'm like, you know, I didn't care. Frankly, I didn't. And God made me care again. He gave me a reason to care again. And so when that happened and I came back to that calling, then he began adding at that point more and more and more to my life. And this was the big addition right here.
This very man. Big. Tall addition. But yeah, Thanksgiving, being thankful, and understanding that God is working in even your most difficult circumstance. Here's another one. 1 Timothy 6:6-8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Now, obviously, this is talking about physical and prosperity wise, and you know, and actually having, you know, your physical needs met. But this, the idea of contentment works in all areas of our life. I'm telling you, if we can find a place of contentment with our godliness, it's great gain. The more we are frustrated, the more that we are, you know, so to speak, shaking our fist at God, maybe not physically, but like in our heart, you know, like, why am I in this situation? The more difficult circumstances are. They always will be. We need to find a place of contentment. Here's the next one. Be thankful and purpose to live at peace with others. So let me go back one more time. Sorry, I was going to try to give an illustration, on, especially on the contentment, that got me through and to the place where I loved Thanksgiving, no matter how many people came over. And so part of what I did is I started realizing that in my heart I needed to be thankful for everyone that's alive. Be thankful that all the ones that could come are healthy. And especially when you go through family members that are getting sick, and like you lost your sister, and those things that help us realize that relationships are a treasure. Even if you don't get along with them all the time, that they're a gift from God, as I like to say. Our relationships are gifts to each other. And how we receive those gifts and how we treasure those gifts and honor those gifts allows us to really cultivate deep relationships when maybe they're not at that point. And so I did that, and it changed the way. Now, there's other things that I did, and we'll get into that. I changed the way that I saw Thanksgiving because I approached it with thankfulness. I approached it with gratefulness and contentment. I just wanted to share that. Okay. Be thankful and purpose to live at peace with others. This is another key for a thankful Thanksgiving. First verse.
Colossians 3:15, New King James Version. And let the peace of God, rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, some would say, well, I let the peace of God rule my hearts, but I'm still at odds with everybody else. But you can't really be letting it rule your heart if you're not with everybody else. And notice that at the very end, and be thankful. So how do we, I believe that letting the full peace of God rule in our hearts requires thanksgiving, just like prayer really does. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer, supplications, make your requests known to God, and what? The peace of God, with thanksgiving, thank you, and the peace of God will rule and reign in your hearts. With thanksgiving, thank you. With thanksgiving, thanksgiving in that. In other words, it's like a, let's see, it's kind of like a catalyst. It allows things to work better. It's a catalyst is probably not the best word, but basically it enhances what we're trying to do. Thanksgiving does. It gives it more power, more ability to work in our lives. For instance, prayer. So, peace of God ruling in our hearts, let thanksgiving be in there. Here's a few others. Or let's say one verse several ways.
Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Read them all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If possible, and to the extent that it depends on you, live in peace with all people. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody.
So let's look at the first one. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So some would say, well, it doesn't depend on me, Pastor. People come at me. They say things about me. They're doing stuff behind my back, and then I'm hearing that. And so.
And now they want to come to Thanksgiving dinner.
They're the ones that have created all this conflict. And now, you know, it's not my place to give them, you know, a pass. Well, no, as much as it depends on you. Yeah, I don't want it to depend on me. Well, if you've got it in you. I don't have it in me. Now, the thing is that you don't have it in you because, number one, you're not approaching God with that thankful heart. If we come to God with a thankful heart, realizing that we have all things, the Bible says in Peter, we have all things that pertain to life, that's this life, and godliness. Doesn't say you'll work them up in you over the next 20 years or 30 years or how many years you've been walking with the Lord, Larry, a lot of years. No, it's been there the whole time. The thing is, have we cultivated it? Have we let this work that's working in us have its place? Have we given God room in our life? Well, if we do that, then we can live peaceably with all people. Doesn't matter how they treat us. Now, we may not gladly turn the other cheek, but we'll have the power to turn the other cheek. We'll have the power to take off our coat when they've just asked for our shirt. You know, we'll have the power to give out of a joyfulness instead of, you know, with contentment. Oh, here you go. Contemptment, I should say. Being in contempt. So, what is this? This is, if it's possible, to the extent that it depends on you. I've always told people when they come to me, especially if I believe they're spiritually mature over the individuals that they have the issue with, I always try to say, well, listen, you're the spiritual one. You're the one that has Christ working in you. You're the one that's been walking with the Lord a lot longer. Can you allow the weakness of this brother or sister to have some room to grow? And that you give them space to be able to be immature as you're mature and not take everything so personally. They don't like hearing that, but it's really the truth. The spiritual one should, as it says, I believe, in Romans 14, should be able to, in so many words, put up with the weakness of their brother and sister. Not easy. It's not good. It's hard to do sometimes, but it's the truth. And we can do that when we have thanksgiving, when we have a grace that's flowing in our hearts because we're receiving that grace because we're thankful for the grace. See, grace is that supernatural empowerment, remember, to do things that you can't do yourself. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. We went through that when we talked about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ being in our life. And that doesn't just mean so I can be a good Christian. Or that I can, you know, look like a Christian on the outside and everybody else is like going, okay, yeah, that guy's a good Christian. But really on the inside, we're like whitewashed sepulchers. We haven't really changed. Grace is the empowerment so that what's on the inside reflects on the outside. You have something? Nope, you're just sitting there. Okay, good. We got more. There's more, but wait, there's more. Proverbs 6:15:1.
Amplified. A soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger.
So if you're having a difficulty, as much as it depends on you, or taking in as much as it depends on you, say, Pastor, I can't do that. Well, then just you take a practical application that's in the book of Proverbs. And this is telling us that if we have somebody that's coming at us or somebody that we have issues with, let's use soft, gentle, thoughtful words because it will turn away wrath. I remember years ago I was working at a
stereo store, and I was installing or selling stereos and kind of helping them get installed. But I was with an individual who was upset because, for whatever reason, his stereo wasn't working right, or, you know, and I think he'd been in a couple of times, and he came in, he was dealing with somebody at the counter, and he was like yelling and being like just crazy, and this guy didn't know what to do, you know, and he's starting to, I could see he was getting agitated. And so I stepped in and I said, "Sir, we're so sorry that this has happened to you, and we're going to make it right." And I just calmed my voice and started talking softer. So, "What can we do to make this better?" And he just said, well, you can." And so he calmed down and he started asking what he wanted. And I said, "Okay, well, we can do that. We're going to get this right, you know." And so I basically turned his anger into gentleness because I approached it that way. So it's kind of like I sowed gentleness and peace, and I received it. Now, you don't always receive it right away. Sometimes people have been, you know, fuming with life for so long. But if you can continue to maintain, it's really an attitude of Christ, you know. When he was reviled, he didn't revile back, you know. When they were casting insults to him, he is saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Wow. Now, I know many of you say, "Well, I'm not Jesus." Well, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead gives life to your mortal body. So you have the capacity to be like Jesus. Again, how much of it has worked out in your life? All right. The final one. Be thankful and purpose to put others first. Now, like I said, I didn't have a whole lot of issues with people and getting angry with them and stuff, unless, you know, they were being mean to you or something like that. I wasn't so much frustrated. But this is an area, another area, when I worked this out in my heart on Thanksgiving and it approached Thanksgiving with this expectation that I was going to put others first, the Thanksgiving went so well. We could still be putting away dishes at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm just like, okay, because in my heart, I purpose to put others first for Thanksgiving. I purpose to make their Thanksgiving enjoyable. Not, that wasn't about me. Okay, Colossians 3:17.
Message.
In the Message.
Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way.
I mean, this is really clear.
Yeah.
Whatever we're doing in words, action, deeds, whatever it is, let it be done in the name of Jesus, in the name of our Master, thanking God. See, that's a key. It links together. You know, I've gone through this Christian walk a lot, and people, like, sometimes they just tell you, "Oh, well, you know, just whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it for," but you're missing a key there. Thanking God, a thankfulness. Why? Because it opens up our heart to receive grace to go through these things and not be bitter, not be frustrated, not have anxiety and things in our heart that aren't pleasing to the Lord and don't bring us any good.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything.
Every step of the way, my sister, my twin sister, always says, "Oh man, I walked 10,000 something steps today."
Oh yeah.
Or, you know, her husband walks
18,000 at work or something crazy
or something like
you,
that.
Honey. Yeah.
Because she's always moving.
He's a Walmart manager.
And I got to think, every step of the way, that'd be a lot of thanking God. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, how different would our heart be if we just thank God, you know, once an hour at the beginning? I mean, we're all awake, 24 minus 8, we're all awake for approximately 16 hours. Could you imagine just saying thank you, God, 16 times in one day, once an hour? Set your watch. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. That's 16 times every step of the way. Like, that would be 18,000 thank yous if that's what he were to do, our brother-in-law. But even if we just thanked him once an hour, how much better would that cultivate our hearts to be thankful? Because when we're saying thank you, God, it's almost like we're tilling hard ground in our heart to have a thank you, God.
We're making room for him.
And we're making that hard ground soft by tilling it with the thank you.
Right.
And so if we could do that, if we could do that, and we purposed to do that, how different would our hearts be? And how much better would our attitudes be?
And how much better would Thanksgiving be?
Well, and you know, it's really funny. Yeah, it would. If you did that from now until Thanksgiving, no matter who came, you'd probably be very thankful. But I, at the beginning of the month, well, actually, it was the end of last month, I took a picture, and I have it on in my pictures on my phone, and I look at it every single day, and it is 30 days of thankfulness. Mm. And it has given me ideas of what to thank per the day.
That's good.
And so what's today, the 21st?
Today's the 20th.
20th? Okay, so today's thing to think about is a keepsake. Okay, so I have this angel that sits on my bathroom counter, and she's a little bit worn. It's wooden. She's a little worn in spots because my dear mother held that in her hands and rubbed the oil of her hands rubbed into that wood and softened that wood. And it's an angel, and it says, you know, to be thankful. The angel's little saying on her says to be thankful. And so this memento, this keepsake, reminds me of my mom and reminds me of the change that my mom went through in her life, because my mom was a mean woman. And toward the last, you know, 20 years of life, she softened and softened and softened. And I remember the very last year, I have another picture. I have a picture of my hands being held by my mom's hands. And my mom's one time that I remember ever, only one time I ever remember my mother praying for me. She was holding my hands across the table and praying for me. And I'm thankful for that picture, that memento, that keepsake, because it makes my heart soft because it reminds me of my mom. So even just stuff like that will change our attitude. So who's coming for Thanksgiving dinner? Let's just start there. Who's coming? And I'm thinking about one person that I'm not looking forward to if this person comes to Thanksgiving, because it's going to be work. It's going to be hard. Work within me, and even work in the home for this person to come. But if I can say thank you, Jesus, because at least that person can come.
Right.
That person's not dead. That person is still able to walk. I should be thankful that I get to spend a few hours with them. So it's just our own attitude change, our own thought process change, our heart change, everything. If we'll allow Jesus to do that in us, how much better will that day be for everybody?
That's good. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 in the NIV Easy Read Version. Don't do anything only to get ahead. Don't do it because you're proud. Instead, be free of pride. Think of others as better than yourselves. And then none of you should look out just for your own good. You should also look out for the good of others. So, again, this idea that we're not to always be thinking of our own needs. Always think of, you know, how am I going to get ahead? How is this going to work out for me? But also to, or instead of, how about that one? That's hard. Instead of us thinking that way, think of what's going to be good for others. What's the best for the interest of others, for the needs of others? That's a good heart to have if you're struggling with people coming over at Thanksgiving you may have to do a lot of work for, or at any time. Maybe you're experiencing, you know, a season in your life where you're needing to give and give and give instead of receive for a while. And this right here will help you realize that that's the attitude of Christ, to give. And if you're thankful in giving, and if you're thankful in what you have, even though you're giving out, you're thankful for that you have the ability to give out. You're not sick on a deathbed somewhere, or you're not, I mean, if we could just change our perspective and realize that we're a gift to someone else, that God's been a gift to us, now we can be a gift to others. Mm-hmm. If we can see that, we can be a lot of good in others' lives and enjoy the process, mm-hmm, instead of being miserable. Because nobody wants to be miserable, do they? Maybe a couple people, but that's okay. What's that, hon?
Sometimes when you treat others that way,
yes, yeah, so as we treat others with respect and dignity, and they start realizing that there's someone that can be treated with respect and dignity, a lot of times that'll change them.
Yeah.
At least for your relationship. Sometimes with others, they got to work it out, but they can receive the fact that they can be honored, and so then they can give honor and respect and kindness to others. That's good. 1 Corinthians 10:33, this is going to be our last verse.
New Living Translation. I, too, try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved.
Oh, isn't that the key, though? It's not just so that we can get through a Thanksgiving and be happy and be thankful. What's the true reason that the Lord doesn't just take us home when we get saved? So that we can be light to a lost and dying world, so that others, through our actions, through our, you know, the way that we live, hopefully, can come to Christ. Not just from what we tell them they need to do, get saved, but literally how we live is an example that they would want what we have. Not that sharing the gospel's wrong, but as Vicki has said, share the gospel and sometimes use words, is that what it is? Which really means live it. Live it out. Be an example of who Christ is in you, and then maybe someone else might want that same thing you have, instead of trying to, yes, shove it down people's throats. And so Paul was saying here, I too try to please everyone in everything I do. Paul, are you saying you're a people pleaser? Is that what you're saying, Paul? Well, not from the standpoint of what we think a people pleaser is. But yes, Paul was a people pleaser. He wanted people to be pleased with having interaction with them, to the place that they were interested to know, why are you so different, Paul? What is it about you that makes it so that I've seen, you know, you in prison now for 2 years in Rome, a guard speaking to him now. And you always seem to have a joy. You always seem to have something different about you. What is it, Paul? Well, let me tell you. Sit down for a moment. And then he can communicate the good news of Christ. I may be in these chains, but I'm a free as a bird when it comes to my life. What? What do you mean? Well, he can explain then what that means. We could be going through difficult times in our lives. I'm sure right now, in Portland, is that where he's at? Right now, their family, their life is being a testimony to that floor that he's on. Not probably just the room, but I'm sure it's a testimony of the faith that they're showing, the love they're showing, the devotion to the Lord, the lack of total fear and just giving things to God. I've seen it time and time again. When people walk with God and they have relationship with him, when the difficulties of life come, he comes to the surface, and people see that, and they want to know what you have. And that is true witnessing. You want to be witnesses for Christ? It's easy. Start receiving his grace, being thankful for what you have, and then live the life that he's given you with all the godliness and everything you need for life. Do you have anything else? Nothing? Mm-hmm. Silenced her. Does anyone else have anything to share? That this is like, who? Oh, now Vicky's got something? Okay. Yeah, because see, I had to repeat everything you said, so.
No, this is what you and I talked about.
And it was
about.
Dead air.
This is what you and I talked about this morning. So.
Oh.
So, honey, I'm stealing your word yesterday. So sheep lay in the field with their shepherd because they know that their shepherd has taken care of all of their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So they are pasturing with their shepherd.
Oh, yes.
So Christ takes care of us. And when we're thankful for that, we are pasturing with our shepherd. And we are living in peace. We're not running into the thorns and into the briar bushes, into all that stuff.
And getting caught in the wolves.
Yeah, you know, because we know that our shepherd has us. And then, you know, when one sheep starts going crazy, they all kind of start going crazy. So when we live like that, then others around us will want to live like that.
Amen. That's so good. Anyone else? Lil, come on up.
All that has been said, this service has hit our family. And so I was praying, you know, to change, you know, the atmosphere. And everything was, the word, everything is just hit right on. And the word that the Lord gave me is just, you know, shine bright, continue to shine bright. And so I think that's what the Lord is saying to each and every one of us, is to continue to shine bright, be that light to those that do not know him, and just be the light to the ones that are brokenhearted.
Amen.
And so just stand upright, get your shoulders back, and be the light that Jesus has claimed us, that we have in our hearts.
Amen. That is a good word. Anybody else?
So I was sharing with my family a couple weeks ago, you know, the message does relate how, you know, we've heard and been told, and it's in the word that, you know, let the good words of God be seen through you by others, right? But we're leaving out a very, very important person. Anybody can guess who that person is? Ourselves. Holy Spirit, talk to me. I was walking through the apple field one day, and that word came to me is, let the works of the Lord be seen through you by you. I'm like, excuse me? By me? Yes, by you. We have to see the works of the God through us first, because a lot of people don't recognize it, or they don't care. Oh, he's a holy roly or whatever, you know. But we know the truth. We know that we are his, he is ours. So that work has to be done through us first before others can see it.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Nope. Okay.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together, Lord, in your word, in you. And Lord, we know that sometimes words come to our hearts and we're just not ready to receive them for whatever reason. But Lord, I pray that you would allow what we need right now from this word to have its place in our lives, to grow and become fruit, Lord, and fruit. But Lord, that will remain and others will be able to receive from it in the future. I bless everyone that's here, everyone that's hearing this by my voice online. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to let your perfect work, your perfect will be done in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Abba.
anymore. Up our work week and get prepared to celebrate with our families, God, our friends, God, that you would continue to condition each and one of our hearts, God, to just be a vessel of thankfulness. God, that you would begin to show us areas of our lives, God, that we're unthankful. And that every day, God, We would wake up with just thankfulness on our lips. We thank you, Lord, for the simple things that we take for granted, for breath in our lungs, Lord, for a house to live in, for food in our cabinets, gas in our car, clothes on our back, our husbands, our wives, our children, families, God. Lord, let us just be a breath of fresh air, Lord, every place we go to this week. And I just thank you so much for this family, for this house, for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our pastors. God, we thank you for this family. We thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lord, as we gather for the Lord's Supper, we thank you for those who are going to be present. Lord, those people who don't go to our church that are going to walk through these doors. And God, we just pray a blessing, God, a blessing, Father, over everything you're doing in this house. And we just thank you for all these things. And God's people said, amen. Have a great Sunday, you guys. See you tonight.